This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have on today's program Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat from South Carolina. Senator Thurmond, it's always good to have you with us.
Well, Dick, I'm very pleased to be on your program.
Senator Thurmond, I know that you and I perhaps are not surprised at this, but perhaps many of the people in the audience are, that recent news accounts which have filled the airwaves and the mass media dealing with the crisis in race relations have been centered not in the South, but in various areas of the North, such as New York City, Rochester, Jersey City, and other places. Now, exactly how did this situation develop in the North?
Well, there have been many more riots and many more demonstrations and much more racial agitation and discord and dissension and trouble between the races in the North than there have been in the South. The people in the South have had no racial trouble except that which has been inspired by outsiders chiefly. In the North, it's a different situation. It's bred from within the states. And as I have stated on many occasions, the communists not only infiltrated these demonstrations, but they have inspired these demonstrations and in many cases have directed these demonstrations. Communism is at the bottom of the Negro demonstrations.
Now, Senator Thurmond, as you and I know, most of the difficulties that we have had in the South in recent years have been brought about by imported agitators, people who are sent into the Deep South in an effort to stir up trouble. Was this a situation, for example, in Harlem or in Rochester? Were there people sent into these areas, or were they already there?
Well, Dick, in my opinion, there's being a button pressed. Whether it's in Harlem, or whether it's in Rochester, whether it's in Chicago, or whether it's in Detroit, or wherever it is, the communists decide what to do, when to do it, and where to do it. There's a common control, because the pattern of these demonstrations is too similar. The results are too similar. And there has to be a central control. And in my judgment, that unquestionably is what is happening.
I know that New York State, for example, has had so-called civil rights laws embracing even more than the national legislation on the subject for a number of years. And so obviously it is not more legislation which these demonstrations are seeking. What do they want? Do you have any idea?
Well, you're correct when you say that. New York State has all kinds of civil rights laws. They have a Fair Employment Practices Commission, so to speak, to guarantee employment, the kind of law that was contained in Title II of this Civil Rights Bill, which was called Public Accommodations. They've had that for years.
And also on housing.
They've had the open housing. And yet, in spite of that, you find more segregation in Harlem than you do in any place in the United States. Far more than there is in any city in the South. They are completely segregated there, and in spite of all of these civil rights laws, they have had more trouble, more racial trouble in the North than they have in the South. And it goes to show that the passage of laws will not stop these demonstrations. It goes to show that the passage of laws is a result of play being made by politicians to get the Negro bloc vote. Laws will not cure this trouble. Whatever adjustments are going to come in the hearts of people. And they are going to come because of goodwill. You can't just pass a law and say that's the end of it. If you remember well, the 18th Amendment was passed. And it wasn't adhered to, it wasn't respected. And the people of New York City and of New York State were some of those who violated it the most. It did not have public support and backing, and therefore it failed. This so-called civil rights bill, eventually, in my judgment, certainly a big portion of it, will be repealed because it's not practical, it's not wise, it doesn't make common sense, and it will not have public support. And eventually, I predict that it will be repealed.
Senator Thurmond, I have before me a copy of a recent issue of U.S. News and World Report magazine, which features an article entitled Crisis in Race Relations. How will it be met? Consisting of interviews with congressmen from around the nation, I would like to give you a couple of excerpts from quotes from these interviews and then get your comments on them. First, Senator Abraham Ribicoff, Democrat from Connecticut, stated in part that with the passing of the years, civil rights will become increasingly a northern problem because we have such large numbers of Negroes in northern cities. And then a second quote that seemed rather significant was from Senator Bourke Hickenlooper, a Republican from Iowa. He was asked this question: is there any feeling that the South might have been right all along in its approach to this problem, meaning civil rights? Senator Hickenlooper's answer was as follows, and I'm quoting from this article. The interesting thing is that there was practically no disturbance in the South until agitators began to exhort mass and mob activity. They seemed to be getting along in peace and reasonable harmony. Now, in the North, where they have at least all of the laws that possibly could be effective, you still have the most violent mob action. Now, that's representative of quite a number of interviews that were printed here, including a discussion of the term police brutality by Police Chief William H. Parker from Los Angeles. Do you believe that there is an increasing realization that laws are not the answer to this?
Dick, I don't think there is any question. I've talked to a great many members of the Congress, and they are beginning to feel now, too, that laws are not the answer to this question.
There's a lot of talk in this political year about a white backlash developing. Actually, is that a correct term, or is it more an awakening of the white majority in the North?
Well, I think it's more of an awakening, if you wish to call it that. I believe Governor Wallace received 43% of the votes in the state of Maryland. He was running against a man who I think was born in Maryland, Senator Brewster. He's well known there, elected to the Senate there 2 years ago, representing the President of the United States in this race. And yet, Governor Wallace, who was comparatively a stranger to the people of Maryland until he went there to campaign, Governor Wallace received 43% of the votes, showing the awakening there, showing that the people are beginning to rise up and rebel against what is taking place. When they force people to associate with people they do not wish to, when they force them to change their social patterns, and when by law they try to compel them to do things they do not wish to do with regard to their associations and their educational institutions and other institutions which have followed traditions down through the years, it's bound to cause trouble.
So that one of the byproducts of this long, hot summer of northern racial disturbances perhaps could be the fact that the white people in the North are realizing finally what the situation is all about, what the underlying root causes of these difficulties might be, so that the wedge which has been attempted to be driven between various regions of the country on this question in recent years might be no longer an important factor.
I don't think that's in the question. I remember I mentioned in the debate with Senator Hubert Humphrey some months ago when the question of employment came up. I asked the question. I said, well, whose jobs are these people going to get? Are the Negroes' jobs or white people's jobs? It would have to come from one category or the other. And we see here an effort to try to place people in position whether they're qualified or not. And if you remember in Chicago, why, they threw out giving a test. You couldn't even give a test to determine if a man is capable to fill a position. Well, after all, I think it's depriving the American people one of their foremost rights, not to allow them to choose their own employees, not to permit them to choose employees or to fire the employees or to promote the employees or to demote them. I think that's a fundamental right of the American people, and I think that any law that contravenes that right also contravenes the Constitution of the United States.
Senator Thurmond, this so-called civil rights movement has been described, in fact, it has been so described even by its own leaders, as, quote, the Negro Revolution. Now, exactly what does this mean? Is it really revolutionary in its character? Would you agree with that statement, that it is a revolution?
Well, they call it a revolution, and in a way, I guess, it's a desire to change things around, and of course, what they want to change, they wish to supplant a democracy and capitalism with dictatorship and socialism. Now, the communists who are inspiring these revolutions have that as their goal. Of course, they do other things. They bring about domestic disturbances, and but that's their main goal. If you want to call it a political and an economic revolution, and they want to bring socialism to this country. They want to bring dictatorship, because the more laws you have, the more power you concentrate in any one place in government, the more tyranny the people are going to suffer. And I predict that within a few years, if the Congress keeps on giving power to the executive branch of the government, and if the people stand idly by and apathetic and permit the Congress to do that the President of the United States within 20 years will almost have the powers of a dictator. And that's the reason I think we've got to try to arouse the public to the importance of these things. This civil rights bill, law which was recently passed, concentrates tremendous power in Washington. There's only so much power. Where does it come from? They have to take it away from the people and take it away from the states when they bring it to Washington. It's a very dangerous situation. It's a very dangerous precedent to set. And I regret that this law passed. And other laws are being passed, too, to bring more power to Washington. And we've got to guard against that. Down through history, men have suffered, not because of other men especially, but they have suffered because of government. The greatest enemy of mankind has not been mankind, it's been government. And that's a thing that can bring about dictatorship over the people, tyranny to the people. And if you remember, Thomas Jefferson says once, you can't trust any man with power, you've got to chain him down to the Constitution. And he visualized then there would be efforts made to enlarge the power of the presidency. And he said, therefore, you've got to chain him to the Constitution. But what we're doing now is Congress is passing laws to give all this power to the president, which in the end, I think, can be very detrimental and very destructive to freedom as we know it.
Senator Thurmond, our time has gone by all too quickly. Be looking forward to talking with you again very soon. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Senator Strom Thurmond, Democrat from South Carolina. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.